Romans chapter 13. And to deal with verses 8 through 10 this morning. Did you know that we have an unpayable debt? All of us have an unpayable debt. It's a debt that we can never actually repay. Never. Never in our lifetime. Never really in eternity can we repay that debt. Paul is saying that we as Christians, as disciples of Christ, that we need to be reminded of this continually. But before we deal with that unpayable debt, let's look at the text of what Paul says here in verses 8 through 10. He says, "Owe nothing to anyone, except to love one another." For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of law. Now, last week we talked about Paul and how he speaks of how people are to relate as far as authority goes. Whether that is civil government or any other type of authority. Parental, school, wherever we may be. And how that relates as well, not just to the Christian, but to everyone. Well, today what Paul is talking about relates to that same thing. And you have to keep this in mind, that what Paul is dealing with is still this. The renewing of the mind, or that of spiritual transformation. What Paul says in verse 8 here in the beginning is he is tying in the previous paragraph was now the current one that we have before us. Before we deal with that unpayable debt that we can never repay, Paul says, "Owe nothing to anyone." Does that mean, because many take it to be that way, there are many who teach that it means this. Is Paul saying here that Christians, that we as followers of Christ, that we're not to go into debt? He says, owe no one anything. Wouldn't that mean don't have any debts? That we shouldn't have any debts? Many teach that what Paul is saying, and that means that a Christian, we cannot go into debt for anything. Well, let's think about that now. Paul does say, owe nothing to anyone. But how about a car loan? How about if you don't have the money to just go out and get a vehicle just like that? you know, pay cash for it. What do you do? That? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But what about, say, your, you know, your apartment? Should you owe for that? Because that goes back to even down to a home mortgage. Should a Christian have a home mortgage? See, if you take this to mean that what Paul is saying, oh, no one, anything, that means a Christian you, that in the church now, or anyone else for that matter, you can't have credit cards. You can't have a car loan. You can't have a mortgage. You can't go into debt to go to school. You can't take out loan for anything. If you take that literally, then what Paul is saying, that when he says, owe no one anything, it means that you can't have any of those things. But that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul doesn't mean that. That's not his point at all. He's not contradicting the scriptures either. Even the Lord allowed for loans, for debt. How do we know that? Even back in the Old Testament, you look at, for instance, in Exodus. Jump back to Exodus chapter 22. This is where God's laying out his law, his rules, his regulations to his people. Listen, in the Old Testament, it's what he says here. Exodus 22, verse 25. Conditional. If you lend money to my people, this is what God says there. If you lend money to my people, to the poor and to the poor among you, you are not to act as a creditor to him. You shall not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, you are to return it to him before the sun sets. For that is his only covering. It is his cloak for his body. What else shall he sleep in? And it shall come about that when he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am gracious. See what it says there? What God, even God says? If you lend to my people, God is saying that, he's not prohibiting it. He's saying you cannot lend. He's saying you can. But he says if you do lend to my people, then there's things that you need to do. So that presupposes that, yes, we can take out a loan. We can have debt. This is harmonized along with the book of Leviticus. If you look at Leviticus chapter 25. Verses 35 to 37. He says, now in case a countryman of yours becomes poor and his means with regard to you falter, then you are to sustain him like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Do not take usurious interest from him, But revere your God, that your countrymen may live with you. You shall not give him your silver at interest, nor your food for gain. But the Lord is saying that you can do these things, but there are stipulations that go along with them. Now the question might be asked, well, do we find this in the New Testament? Well, I'll give you a couple of examples. Matthew chapter 5, verse 42. Jesus says, give to him who asks of you. And do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. See, that's going into debt. That's what he's talking about is a loan. One more example you find in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Look at what the Lord says here. Matthew 6:35. But love your enemies and do good and what? And lend. Do you see that? So is Paul contradicting the Lord? No, he's not. Jesus says, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. And lend, Jesus said. So, what does Paul mean here then? What is he saying here then? What he's saying when he says, owe no one anything, he is saying it means that whatever you owe, whatever you're in debt to, whatever you have a loan for, whether that be a mortgage, whether that be rent, whether it be a car loan, school loan, what have you. What he is saying here is that you pay for what you got. You pay on time and you pay honestly. That's what he means. The New International Version has it correct there from what it says. Anyone have that version? No? Anyway, it is correct in what it says there. I didn't write it down, but the International Version is correct in this instance. So this then leads into Paul's main point. Owe no one anything. Owe nothing to anyone. Except to love one another. So, yes, we can have debts, and yes, we can have loans, and we pay them what we owe and on time and honestly. But Paul's main point, Paul is saying, love, agape, love itself is a debt. Ever think of love that way? That love's a debt? But you see, it's not any type, just any type of love. It's not love like what the world talks about and what others would say that they are giving. It's not a friendship type love. It's not a love like, say, oh, I love ice cream, or I love potato chips, you know, and I can't leave those alone. No. It's not erotic love. The love itself is the agape love. It's a love that can only come from Him. And it is a debt. And Paul says, except to love one another, that is a debt. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled law. What Paul is saying here, and it goes back to what Paul mentioned in the beginning of chapter 12, and you'll see it in verse 9 there, that this love is indeed, it's a spiritual obligation. But brothers and sisters, that is a debt. That love is a debt that we can never repay. It's a debt that we keep on giving out, that we have continually, and that we will have until we leave this earth. When we take upon Christ as our Lord and Savior, we also take upon His love. And it's a debt. And it's a debt that we give out, that we are to give out. We cannot have that naturally, not that type of love. And no one on this earth can give you that type of love outside of Christ. For He is the one who gives it. He is the one who gives that love. What it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, but I say to you, notice what he said in verse 43, you have heard that it was said. In other words, you've been taught these things. You've heard these things from other teachers. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, and you see Jesus teaching that in the way he would say that. He wouldn't say, but I say to you. He would say, but I say to you. In other words, Jesus is saying that by my authority, by who I am, I say to you this. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You see, that's a never-ending thing. If you go to Luke chapter 10, and you read there verses 25 to 37, and you see there Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. And that all arose because a lawyer, one of the scribes, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, teacher, Rabboni, teacher, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? If you are who you say you are, then what do I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in law? How does it read to you? What does it say? And the lawyer answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Now that's taken from Leviticus. Leviticus, the 17th chapter. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But notice this. But wishing to justify himself, the lawyer, he said to Jesus. Now remember, he's trying to test Jesus. And who is my neighbor? See, many people would think that their neighbor is a person they like. It's a person they want to be around. And then here comes the Lord, and he tells a parable. He tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. He shows what loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength is, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And why does he specifically say the parable of the Good Samaritan? Does he say that? Because, see, the lawyer wanted to justify himself. He said, who is my neighbor? Well, who do you think that lawyer thought his neighbor was? People just like him. That's who he was to love. People just like him. See, many people today, that's what they think it is. But along comes the Lord, and look at what he says. Jesus replied, said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him, and they beat him, and they left him away, went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going by, Levi. A priest. By chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Said, whoa, wait a minute. I see that guy. He's been beaten. He's half dead. So obviously, he must be been robbed. So you know, I don't want to mess with that. They might still be around. And I might get beat up. So I'm just going to mosey over here on the other side, and I'll just pass him by. I didn't see nothing. See? So then Jesus says, likewise a Levite. Also, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Well, why did the Levite pass by on the inside? Same thing. He didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to maybe get hurt himself. So he passes by on the other side. Jesus uses two examples for this lawyer that this lawyer would think were his neighbor. Now he gives the third example. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, the man that was beaten and robbed, left half dead, he felt compassion. And he came to him, and he bandaged up his wounds, and he poured oil and wine on him, and he put him on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, you take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I'll repay you. Jesus then asks the crucial question. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And the lawyer said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said, go and do the same. But does he notice why Jesus used those three examples? Because do you think that the lawyer thought his neighbor was the Samaritan? Not on your life. To the Jew, a Samaritan was not only an enemy, but was lower than the dog. Why? Because the Samaritans were half-breeds. They're part Gentile and part Jew, but they weren't completely Jewish. So Jesus used that example to show them. He said, he was telling them in a way that y'all think you got it down pat. But I give you this example to show you that even the Samaritan can show love to his neighbor. That's why Jesus did that. That's why he showed that. And you see, it goes back to what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Did you know that James says in the book of James, he said that love is the royal law. That encompasses everything. What Paul is saying here to us and what Jesus teaches us, brothers and sisters, is that it is the individual, it is the person who is in the process of spiritual transformation, who is in the process of renewing the mind, who begins to look at things and people differently. No matter who they are. And they begin to look at people differently in his eyes. The way he sees them. That's what's missing in our world. And that's what we need to do. And that's what we need to show the world. It's how God sees people. And how God sees people is how we should see people. That's why what Paul says here, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Love is that unpayable debt. Now, in the latter part of verse 8, Paul states that that love fulfills law. Now, it's in your translations that the is in italics. And the reason why it is because, well, it's not in the text. Paul just says law. He's not just specifically talking about the Mosaic law. And Paul says that it is fulfilled in the, he uses the perfect tense, which means this. Paul says it is treated as done because it is sure to be done. When he talks about law here, it means it refers to moral law. As it pertains to interpersonal relationships in whatever form an individual might possess that. As Brother Jack Cottrell says, it is the totality of the moral law as such. It is the sum total of all the commands that apply to those living in Paul's day and age. But that even goes to today. And what Paul said is it fulfills the requirements of the law. I like what Grant Osborne says in concerning this. He says, in love, the Christian sums up the purpose of the law and brings it to completion. No wonder the obligation is never ending. Why? As he says, we could never love perfectly. None of us can. We can never love perfectly. But we can continue to grow in it. And that's what we must do. And that's why Paul illustrates this with what he says in verses 9 and 10 here. That's why he uses that little word for. Because now he's illustrating it. Paul is giving an example of what he is talking about. Adultery is still wrong. Murder is still wrong. Stealing is still wrong. Coveting is still wrong. And what are these the opposite of? See, that's what Paul is saying. Why he's giving us an example. What are they the opposite of? They're the opposite of love. That's why he says what he does here. So then Paul sums it up. Literally, what it means, when he says sums up, it means he's bringing it together under one heading here. And he quotes. In verse 9, he quotes Leviticus 17. It's actually Leviticus 19, verse 18. So what does this mean to us? I think it means what Brother Gareth Reese says. Jesus wants his followers, he wants us to express the same interest in the needs of others as they do for their own needs. Instead of being so absorbed with their own need that they are oblivious to the needs that others have. Now, brothers and sisters, I ask you, is that not a problem in our society? Are not people so absorbed with themselves? Heavens! What's one of the biggest fads in the world today, I should say. Not just in our country, but in the world. Anybody name it? I can tell you what it is. Yes. Debbie just said it. Selfies. But why do you take selfies? I'm not saying that that's inherently wrong, but why do people take selfies? Because they want to be what? They want to be noticed. But again, it's because they're absorbed with the needs of themselves. And Jesus is saying, that's why that is a debt that can never be repaid. That love is. It's an all-encompassing thing. It's just what Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 and 35. He said, I give you a new commandment. That's what he told the apostles. I give you a new commandment. You've heard all these others? I'm going to give you a new one. He says, love one another as I have loved you. And how did Jesus love? Why? He gave his life, didn't he? How did Jesus love us? He gave his life. He paid the debt that we owe. But he never owed a debt, did he? Isn't that interesting about our Lord? Is that he's surrounded by all these things and that, but yet he says of himself, he had no place to lay his head. Why? Because of who he was. See? And what he was teaching the disciples and what he wants to teach us today is, why do you think he did the gird himself about the towel? You find that in John 13. Why he did that? Because even his own apostles, the disciples at the time that he had chosen, they were so absorbed with what? Themselves. And he wanted them to think differently, to get their eyes off of themselves onto others. And that's why he said, I'm giving you an example here. Not for you to continually repeat just what I did, but I'm giving you an example of the love that I'm giving out. So that's why Paul in verse 10 repeats what he says in negative form, what he said in verse 8. The last part of this verse, verse 10, last part of the paragraph rather, verse 10 forms the whole conclusion of his argument. What he is saying here, and the message that he has for us is this: the person who loves, agape love, which can only come from Christ, will put into practice what the law teaches him or her. Paul is not saying that you don't follow law. He's not saying that at all. But he is saying that love completes that, fulfills it. See. I like what Brother Jack Cottrell said in this regard. Think of it this way. I think this is so beautiful. Love is like a finely cut diamond. All the other commandments are its various facets of that diamond. Love and law are like two sides of a single coin. One entire side is composed, think of that, of one coin. One entire side of that coin is composed of love. The other side of the coin is divided into all the other commandments. For you see, to truly love one's neighbor is to keep those other commandments. If a person steals from someone else, if they covet, if they kill someone else, if they commit adultery, are they showing love? Isn't it the exact opposite of love? See, that's why Paul says what he does here. And I'll close with these thoughts from Brother Don DeWelt to wrap this up. He said, We need not worry about moral regulations when we love in deed and in truth. We shall find to our joy and that of our neighbor that we have gone far beyond whatever regulations man has set up for right and wrong. It's what it comes down to, you see. So Paul ends this going back to love. That unpayable debt. But again, think of it this way. It's not just any love, it's agape love, which can only come from Christ. And you can only have that within you. You can only have that through Him. It has to come through Christ, see? And it goes back to that spiritual transformation and the renewing of our mind. That's why this is so important and why we need to teach it, see, and what the world needs to see. Let's stand. We're going to sing. He paid a debt.